President Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth. And when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evident Footprints, Don Nikoloff.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on April 15th, 2009, or if you're somewhere in the Eastern or Central time zones, then you know it's the morning of April the 16th, still 2009. Well, we've been having a couple of technical difficulties here. Hopefully the sound is clear. We're using the most modern of technologies in voice over internet protocol. And it does have its drawbacks. And it seems like tonight it's rearing its ugly head. So we apologize if the sound is at all doing anything strange. It's not nearly as bad as what's going on in government, however, or in the banks and the world financial community. It's appalling, and you hear me say this just about every night, how much corruption there is, and Barack Obama is corrupt. That's the only way to put it. And through and through, his persona, his documentation, his origin, I think the man in the moon probably would even claim him as being from the moon. And maybe somebody on one of the other planets, maybe Uranus. And I could pronounce it another way, and that would probably be more accurate. So we're probably going to end up talking about some of the craziness going on in the world. We won't delay bringing tonight's guest on. He's a frequent visitor to Evident Footprints. He has a great website called educate-yourself.org. He is a researcher, an inventor, a metaphysician, and quite a webmaster of one of the most popular sites in the world, my good friend Ken Adachi. Ken, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Don. It's nice to be on with you again. I look forward to having these chats.
Well, since the last time you were on, we've had the G20 meeting, and we're watching trillions of dollars still being squandered. China has taken a front seat role in what's going on. When we say China, we're speaking about the communist government more than anything else, because behind the scenes, there's this move to bring gold and silver into the world financial community as, let's say, a collateral for the and as a replacement for the fiat systems that are in use. And of course, the cabal has to rear its ugly head and fight tooth and nail to try to keep some semblance of this insane reality that they've created. So there's a lot of problems worldwide. I'm sure you hear a lot, as much as you're in touch with folks from different parts of the world. Tell us what you're hearing.
Well, we can review, you know, the major let's say propaganda issues that have been promoted for the last week or two. I'll probably allude to that, but I probably would like to say, however, though, is that I got a few emails. I haven't had a chance to reply to them or post them on my website, but I'd like to talk about the content of one of these emails. I quite often get letters from people not only in this country, but in other parts of the world, who typically rather young, who seem to be fully awakening to the reality of the New World Order takeover agenda. And, you know, what I'm referring to, of course, is the takeover and destruction of the United States. But beyond that part of their plans, they have this overall theme of eradicating borders around the world and set up three principal spheres of country hegemony and influence. There's the European sphere, which is well underway with this, you know, with the amalgamation of countries in Europe and what they're calling the European Union. They're installing, they're trying to install, perhaps it's a better choice of words, the North American Union, which is an amalgamation of Canada, the United States, and Mexico. And they have the same plans on essentially creating a borderless South America and Central America. And then in Asia, that would be the third sphere of influence. The Asian world, the plan is to be dominated by China. But nevertheless, Japan will never, you know, will still be a main player, because it's probably one of the wealthiest countries in Asia, as well as, you know, rather advanced and sophisticated in science and so forth. But that's the overall plan. You can have three regions of the world, and they want to reach all borders. That's the whole point of the New World Order. So by trickery, deception, and above all, false flag problem, reaction, solution themes, they are continuously advancing this agenda. We're experiencing a false flag event currently in terms of the shootings that have recently taken place in America, especially since the beginning of April. We've had an explosion of cases around the country, six or seven now, since April 1. It's funny how they use April Fool's Day to kick off these things, in which there is now every day in the news another lengthy news segment that's devoted to, well, there's two themes running concurrently. One is the theme of, you have Dianne Feinstein, a senator from California, who appeared on 60 Minutes just this last Sunday, which is a coast-to-coast broadcast. And they devoted about, I'm not sure, 20, 22 minutes or so segment to the issue of gun ownership and gun control. And what they showed was video from a gun show in Virginia where you see a lot of guys, who drove there in pickup trucks with jeans and baseball caps, you know, kind of country-looking guys, rednecks, you might, describe them if you had to put a name to them. And they're lined up, around this gun show building waiting to get in. It's a, tremendous line. And they were, I guess it was Diane Sawyer, was interviewing a man inside the gun show who's involved in, gun rights activities. I forget his name off the bat. But anyway, he was showing her the various, and of course, the weapons that got the most video was the assault-type rifles, the ones that look militaristic and with large clips. And
like the AK-47.
That sort of thing. That's what you principally saw. And he's explaining to her how, there is this push now with Dianne Feinstein based on the recent rash of shootings, which we've already discussed, but I'll repeat. All shootings of the type, such as the one in Binghamton, New York, in which some local guy, typically a guy who's part of the group or a worker or something like that, would just suddenly, inexplicably, go berserk and take a, you know, an assault rifle or something into a place and blow away 13 people, which is what happened in Binghamton. It was somewhere around April 1, 2, or 3. I can't remember the exact date. And then shoots himself. This is the most common theme. A couple of years ago, 2 or 3, I'm not sure exactly, it might have been 2006, we had the Virginia Tech shooting in which a guy who was supposedly, you know, just this Chinese, well, he wasn't even a student. They tried to portray him as a student, but he wasn't even a student. He goes into the dormitories of VA Tech and kills a bunch of people and then kills himself. And all these shootings typically follow a completely senseless killing in a place where you have, you know, the most vulnerable, the most innocent of people engaged in everyday activity, going to school, children at a playground, kids and, you know, and adults in a McDonald's hamburger, you know, store, office building, someone goes in there, you know, that happened in Atlanta 3 or 4 or 5 years ago. The setting is always innocent, and the victims are always, you know, the least involved in any sort of controversy, the most innocent among us. And just tonight, I posted an article, which I took off Friends.com, in which a former president of Italy, he was president of Italy roughly from the mid-80s to 93, had said publicly in testimony that 9/11 was a inside job. He said it was a CIA Mossad operation. And in my forward remarks to that article, I mentioned that one of the operatives of the operation that was taking place in Europe, especially out of Italy, that was called Operation Gladio in the 1960s, in the 1970s, in the 1980s, was a intelligence service black operations in which they were staging shootings, such as, you know, the airport shootings in the early 70s in Israel, the shootings that took place in Italy. If you remember, the Red Brigade was a big deal. Communist terrorist cell in the 1970s. Created by CIA, Mossad, British military intelligence, you know, MI5, MI6, etc.
Yeah.
And same here in this country, the terrorists that we've been told about, you know, the Symbionese Liberation Front, all CIA-connected, created entities. Al-Qaeda, the big reason for the war on terror, the justification for invading Afghanistan and Iraq, the terrible Al-Qaeda terrorists, created by the CIA.
Now, CIA. Listen to this, this evening.
Yeah.
For all of 1 minute, I listened to Donald Trump on Larry King's show on CNN.
Okay.
Just 1 minute. I wanted to, you know, see if anything important was being reported. Of course, right at the moment I tune in, he's making the statement, well, Larry, you know, we know who pulled 9/11. We know who's responsible for it. And you know who I mean. And Larry King says, no, I don't. Tell us who it is. Well, you know who it is. You know, we know who it is. 3 times he had to ask him to say it, and then finally he blamed it on Saudi Arabia.
Yes.
Imagine that. Now,
yes.
After Dr. Qasem Khalil wrote a book, went to the Middle East, tracked down most of these people,
yes.
Out of the 19 so-called hijackers. I mean, we've been over this ad nauseum.
Yes.
And yet, now they've got Donald Trump talking about how bad the economy is and how much everything has to change. And then he turned around and they blame all of this. He's justified in saying that Saddam Hussein had nothing to do with it. But then he turns around and blames it on Saudi Arabia. Come on.
I mean, right.
They may have put money up. That's for certain, you know.
Yeah.
But Israel is behind it, and so is our government and the traitors right. in our government.
Right, right. Yeah,
period.
It's important to repeat these things. Yes, and this is what this former president of Italy was saying as well. His name is Francesco Cossiga. He says that he mentions that in 2001, apparently, perhaps it was in the late 80s, early 90s, he revealed the existence of this Operation Gladio, which was involving all these, you know, these so-called terrorist attacks that were occurring in Europe in 60s, 70s, and 80s. And it was all a false flag operation. And thankfully, at least you have a few heads of states in Europe, at least. We had, you know, a couple guys in Germany come out, high-level German politicians, mention that, you know, they don't believe the cover story about 9/11 at all. It was pretty clear to them that it was an inside job and that the intelligence services are responsible for orchestrating it. So what's happening now is we're getting an inside job orchestration to bring on gun control. Naturally, they do everything in increments. So the first wave of this gun control legislation will be a New World Order, so on, like Dianne Feinstein is proposing. She was very quick to say over the radio, heard her about a week ago, that she's not interested, she's not looking to ban guns. Oh, no, perish the thought. But we have to, she said in an also calm voice, measured, the very, you know, a paragon of calm demeanor and well-reasoned thought. She says we have to put an end to the senselessness, the absolute unnecessity of allowing assault weapons to be available.
Does that include tasers?
No, she didn't mention tasers. No, she didn't bring that up at all. But she says that she understands and has no problem with the legitimate concerns of hunters and people, you know, but, you know, there is no reason, she said, for assault weapons. These are military weapons designed to kill lots of people in a short space of time, and this has nothing to do with hunting, et cetera, et cetera. So the typical routine you hear from a gun control promoter such as her. But what we all know and what she knows but would not admit publicly, of course, is that the agenda is to incrementally get more and more weapons put on the no-fly list until ultimately all guns will be, well, let's say gun ownership will be utterly regulated and controlled. Now, so at this stage of the gun control false flag operation, the media, through mouthpieces like Feinstein, are using the incidents of these mind-controlled shooters as the platform as the pretext to front their propaganda about what starts out as assault weapons. Now, while they're using the assault weapons as the main piece of bait, they're not talking about publicly too much is the registration and registration and documentation that is going along with the assault weapons ban part of it. They're not talking about that publicly. But it boils down to this, is that, as you probably know, they want to register and serialize ammunition so that they would know who's purchasing ammunition and how much ammunition they purchased. They want to force the agenda in which everyone who has any sort of firearm, whether it's, you know, a little small caliber pistol or a rifle, any sort of firearm, they want it to be a countrywide law that you have to register your gun with, you know, the state and federal authorities. You got to tell them where you live. You got to identify the gun, the serial number. You've got to, and from there, you have to take you have to meet certain certification qualifications. If you have children in the house, you have to certify that these guns have proper gun locks on it, they're kept in a locked cabinet, that the ammo and the guns are kept in separate locked cabinets. Now, anyone who is familiar with the sort of training that's involved in self-defense at home knows the first thing is that when you're confronted with someone in your house who has the capacity to kill you, if you have your weapon locked in one cabinet in one part of the house, the ammo locked in another cabinet in another part of the house, when they come with the ambulance in the morgue, you're the one who's going to be on the morgue slab, not the burglar or the criminal who's entered your house.
Yeah.
Because he's not going along with those rules. So if you have any hope of effectively defending yourself in the home, you have to have immediate access to your gun and the ammunition, and you can't be spending a lot of time unlocking cases and, you know, loading the gun. There is no time for that. You have to move in seconds if you're hoping to successfully defend yourself. So people who are truly familiar with self-defense knows how utterly unworkable, ludicrous, and untenable is the idea of keeping guns and ammo locked away, but this is what they will be insisting on.
Now, there's nothing about the mind control behind the Monarch or the Montauk type brainwashed operatives,
right,
that they put out there.
Right,
exactly. To murder these people. And I guess eventually they're going to go after pea shooters too, aren't they?
You know? But I'm emphasizing it here. I wish I had more time. I'd like to put up a lot more material related to this, but I'm limited. But it's very much got me concerned. Now, so you have this gun control saber rattling going on the one hand. Now, another thing that simultaneously has been occurring for the last week is that another New World Order minion sellout, Napolitano, has been also promoting a Tavistock-created theme about the growth of right-wing extremists.
And
of course, this ties in with the gun control theme very well, because naturally anyone who's interested in, you know, gun rights and gun ownership, you know, naturally is a redneck, is you know, unsophisticated, you know, conspiracy theorist, and you know, wacko gun nut extremist, you know. So we're all sludged into this camp, and this is the theme that a fifth columnist like Napolitano is assigned to promote, because they want to create total gun, you know, control in this country. And that's eventually going to mean gun banning. But again, they work it up. But they want to install, you know, the final planks of the New World Order now. They don't want to do it in 15 years from now. Apparently 2012 is a big deal date for them. And so now we're well into 2009, so you will see this absolute ratcheting up of multiple crises at the same time. Hey, they totally created out of, you know, whole criminal cloth the, you know, the so-called economic crisis.
Yeah.
They virtually kicked it off last, I guess, October, November of 2008. Prior to that, there was no economic collapse, and they just created it through unremitting criminal behavior on the part of bankers, Wall Street types, etc. You've talked about that a great deal. So they created this, you know, loss of jobs. You have all these corporations that are given their marching orders at these G20 meetings, at the Bilderberger meetings, at the, you know, they have all these Illuminati-sponsored planning sessions in which they're telling, okay, this is the next phase. This is what we're going to do now. So now they want to create the economic collapse because they want to create a great deal of tension among the people so that they're, you know, they started to set up the collapse of the, the Federal Reserve notes. They started to set that up perhaps 3 years ago, 2.5, 3 years ago. I sort of used the point at which they stopped publishing what's known as the, it's called the M, I'm forgetting the name for it. The M, it's abbreviated M. It stands for the money supply.
So, M3, they call it.
Okay, thank you. The Federal Reserve prior to this, since the adoption of the Federal Reserve, has been publishing this figure, decade in, decade, but it's normal. And suddenly they stopped, and Greenspan or somebody came up with some completely unbelievable hocus-pocus excuse for why they were doing that. But why did they want to do that? Well, it's simple. They want to print more money, and they don't want to tell the world that they're printing more money. So naturally, if they reported the money supply and it suddenly jumps up, you know, a few trillion dollars, they realize that they must have printed more. So they don't want you to know that, so they simply stop giving you that information. So you don't know how much is actually in circulation and how much new stuff they're adding to the circulation by printing it.
Yeah.
And of course,
let me comment on this, because you referred to what's called the Homeland Security report of April 7th, 2009. This is an assessment.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And I'm going to just sort of highlight a couple of points, okay? The first thing they bring up is the current economic and political climate. Now, they have created this climate.
Yes.
Would you not agree?
Oh, yes.
Okay, but now they're going to talk about the people who are pissed off about it, okay? Right wing, and I'm reading under exploiting economic downturn. they're predicting that there's going to be riots or some action. But let me just read it, and we won't read into it yet. Right wing extremist chatter on the internet continues to focus on the economy, the perceived loss of U.S. jobs. Now, dig that word, perceived.
Right.
Okay? As if that's not true. Okay?
Yes.
In the manufacturing and construction sectors and home foreclosures. Anti-Semitic extremists. Now they have to bring the Jewish factor in there, right?
Right.
Okay? And actually those that make up these terms and use these terms aren't even Jews.
Yes.
Okay? They're Ashkenazis, they're Khazars, they're Kenites, they're Edomites.
Yes.
Okay? We can get into the biblical descriptions, we can get into the historical descriptions. They are not Jewish people. Okay? They are not true Judeans. All right?
Very good.
Anti-Semitic extremists attribute these losses to a deliberate conspiracy conducted by a cabal of Jewish financial elites. What the hell do they think it is if it's not that? Okay, but this is their terms now. They're countering what's being said, like on shows like this and in writings by journalists around the world.
Right,
These, and I quote, accusatory, unquote, tactics are employed to draw new recruits into right-wing extremist groups. By no means have I ever asked anyone in my listening audience to be part of a right-wing extremist group.
Yes.
Okay? But obviously, if they're going after the right wing, this is coming from the left wing then, right?
Yes.
Okay? And further radicalize those already subscribing to extremist beliefs. What the hell is an extremist belief?
Right.
I
understand your frustration here.
Okay.
I'll let you finish your piece.
Let me go up to another paragraph here, and they make a statement now about the political situation. Most statements by right-wing extremists, whoever that may be, have been rhetorical, expressing concerns about the election of the first African-American president. That's a lie right there, okay? Mm-hmm. You see? Mm-hmm. But stopping short of calls for violent action. In two instances in the run-up to the election, extremists appeared to be in the early planning stages of some threatening activity targeting the Democratic nominee, but law enforcement interceded. Again, pure poppycock, okay? We reported an attempt to blow up seven cities in the United States with nuclear weapons days before the inauguration.
Yes.
You remember that? You were on one of those shows.
Yes.
And after the second show, which was heard by millions around the world, they got scared and they removed the bombs from where they were located.
Yes.
Okay? We can come out and say that with certainty, okay.
Yes.
But do you hear that mentioned here? You know, they're blaming two groups, two radical
mm-hmm.
groups.
Mm-hmm.
I don't recall any radical groups other mm-hmm. than people were saying, "Show us your certificate of live birth. Show us a genuine one." In fact, okay,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There's not been one shred of paper that's been legitimate from Barack Obama.
Mm-hmm.
All right, and he is not the president of the United States of America. Okay, he's the president of a two-party contract, period.
Mm-hmm.
And they can put anybody in that in that position that they choose. However, don't tell us that we elected this guy because he's not doing the job of a president. He's a traitor. Actually, he's not even a traitor. He has no business being in this country.
Mm-hmm.
He absolutely has no business whatsoever, other than he's with his fellow criminals in Washington.
Well, you've already coined the ideal term for guys like him.
He infiltrator.
Infiltrator.
Yeah.
That's the perfect term.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm just highlighting a couple of the points. But, you know, this is supposed to be a national security, homeland security. Remember, the Nazis used that term, homeland. Right?
Yeah.
And that phrase was never used here until 9/11. They came out with that.
Yeah, that very intentionally. In fact, I do recall at the time when, you know, the Patriot Act came out and so forth, that's how Homeland Security was created. The planners, the Bush cabal, et cetera, hoped to use the term fatherland. And that was the initial name that was going to be used, but they felt that the connection to Nazi Germany would be so blatant that it would be probably wiser to use the term Homeland Security, because that's exactly the term that Germany used in the 30s was the Fatherland. So they made a decision, but initially they were going to call it, not home security, but the fatherland security.
Yeah.
That was the first choice.
Yeah. Now they say DHS INA notes that prominent civil rights organizations have been observed and or have observed an increase in anti-Hispanic crimes over the past 5 years. Do you know that 95% or higher of the crimes committed in Los Angeles are committed by illegal aliens?
Yes.
Who happen to be Hispanic. Okay?
Yes, right.
Those aren't my facts. Those are the published facts.
Right.
Okay? In April 2007, six militia members were arrested for various weapons and explosives violations.
Mm-hmm.
Open source reporting alleged that those arrested... Now, who is the open source reporting? Who is that?
Okay. Exactly.
Okay. That those arrested had discussed and conducted surveillance for a machine gun attack on Hispanics. So you have this statement being made, put into this report as if this was real. There's no names, there's no dates, other than a month and a year. There's no place named, right? Were any arrests made? You know, there's nothing there. They just make these general statements, and this makes this a reason to pass these laws.
Right.
Then a militia member in Wyoming was arrested February 2007 after communicating his plans to travel to the Mexican border to kill immigrants crossing into the United States. Now, they say immigrants. They don't say illegal aliens.
Yes.
You see? An immigrant, immigration is a totally different thing from sneaking over the border.
You're absolutely right, and, you know, synchronicity being what it is, I've only had the time to put up one article yesterday and one article today. And the article that I posted yesterday was my response to a letter I received
an immigrant,
a Spanish woman. You know, I'm guessing she's probably Mexican, but maybe she's from Central America, you know, Salvador, or maybe even South America, but I'm just guessing. And she you know, read some of the articles that I put up an article in 2006 that I titled "Undocumented Immigrants" in quotes, and it's essentially my overview of the falsity of identifying illegal aliens as immigrants, and the whole, you know, the true agenda that's going on in the background. The people who are allowed, who have been allowed to come to the United States through Mexico, don't realize that they are serving an agenda. Their only thought is that by coming to the United States, they're going to make, you know, 50 times more money than they could possibly make in El Salvador or Mexico, and send that back to their family in Mexico, and that family is going to gain much more. So that's all they're thinking about, is just the economic gain by coming here. So I get this lady, this gal, her name is Patricia, and she starts out, the first sentence in her letter is, "Your email is so full of hate to the people of Latin America." And that's what I use for a title of the piece. And then she goes on and on that she says that she is a legal person here, but that she doesn't like she feels discriminated against, and she feels hatred from people, because she says that, you know, haters like me are branding everyone illegal, and you got to get out of the country, and so forth, and so on. So her response was an emotional one based on her perceptions about what I had written. But, you know, I answered it. My answer was rather long. And I had told her that, A, first, you're wrong. I don't have negative feelings about you know, people of Latin heritage, not at all. I, as you know, I used to be involved in the music business at one point, and I had tons of friends who were from South America, from Central America, a few from Mexico who were in the music business, and
Puerto Rico, you know, and Cuba.
Yeah, I can sort of you know, so-so get by in speaking and understand Spanish, and I haven't been able to do that since my early teens. And you know, I know the music, I know the genre quite well, I like it. You know, generally the people are warm, very warm. And particularly since usually you're dealing with people from poorer backgrounds, when you, you know, behave in a very respectful way towards people from that set of backgrounds, and you're a white American like I am, they're very warm towards you because they like the fact that you understand that, you know, you're not being snobbish with them or looking down at them. And so I always, you know, behaved that way when I was with, Latin friends, because that's the only way to behave. But because I can sort of speak the language and I can play the music, etc., it gave me a special place. So I have tons of friends. But as I mentioned in my reply to Patricia, that's not the issue. It's not the culture of Spanish-speaking people in the United States that I'm writing about. It's the illegal entry into the country from people from Mexico or Central America or South America who are coming into this country illegally. That's the issue. And I also explained to her the Webster's definition of immigrant. I took it right out of my Webster's dictionary, and I'll quote it here. It's just a one-liner. Webster's dictionary defines immigrant as follows, quote, a person who comes to a country for the purpose of permanent residence, quote. And I explained to her, now, when we use the term immigrant, it implies that the person is coming into the country to obtain permanent residence. And I says, that's not possible without applying to the government through the legal channels for status as either an alien resident or to apply for, become a naturalized citizen. So I said the word immigrant conveys the notion of legitimacy, I said, which in turn means legal and proper.
Yeah.
Status in the country versus the word illegal alien, which accurately describes the illegitimate and criminal status.
30 people climbing out of a van after a traffic accident on the freeway or after being stopped by Border Patrol. There's such a video on the web. This van tips over, and they're climbing out one of the doors, and, I mean, they keep coming out through the whole video.
Right.
It's several minutes long, and these people keep climbing out and running across the street. Yes. Now, stop and think about the statement that I read about this guy from Wyoming. They pick up this chatter that this guy's going to go to the Southwest from Wyoming, and he's going to start shooting immigrants. Now, how is he going to determine who the immigrants are? I mean, listen to the logic they're using, okay? Is he going to go up to these people, are you an immigrant, and then shoot them?
Right.
I mean, how long is that going to last?
Right.
You know, these are the idiotic statements that these people are making, and,
yes,
and there are people dumb enough to believe it.
Yes, and we need to recall that during Clinton's administration as well, he had people in the administration, Gennarino and others, who were essentially fronting a very similar line of propaganda, in which they were trying to demonize people, Americans, who were involved in militia groups. And of course, this was really the purpose of burning out, you know, the Koresh group there in Waco, which was in April 1993, I believe. Do I have the date right? April 19th, 1993. I believe that was the date of the Waco burnout. Because although Koresh actually was not one of these militia guys, they used him as a pretext of, let's say, as they were trying to model him because they were ordering and getting through UPS deliveries guns, rifles, and so forth. which so they had to dress that up into the militia demon robes and hang it on Koresh. And so they wanted to send multiple messages. First, if you recall, that during Reagan's term ended in 88, and then you had Bush won from 88 to 92, and then Clinton for 8 years, from 92 until 8 years
till 2000.
To 2000. Okay, so during the this was during the first Waco was during Clinton's first time around, and so they were really. The militias were growing, the militia movement was growing during the 80s because Reagan, representative of the Republican Party, tend to be pro-gun, and so therefore these militia groups, were able to organize more and get off the ground. Now, of course, anyone who, knows the inside scoop knows that all militia groups were well infiltrated by government agents. Everyone knows that. Like MUFON. I mean, there's more CIA people at MUFON than are in, at a Langley, yearly meeting of the employees,
Yeah.
So the militia movement was well infiltrated by government agents, spooks, et cetera. So it was hugely weakened and undermined by that alone. But they really didn't want, people training and stocking, because the last thing the New World Order wants is an effective resistance to their, to their takeover agenda. And they certainly don't want people shooting back at them when they come to get you to stick in those cattle cars to send you off to a FEMA concentration camp. So they absolutely wanted to, demonize and destroy the militia movement. So they used Koresh as their poster child for that.
Yeah, and wasn't it right before that they had Ruby Ridge, or was that?
Oh, yes, Ruby Ridge was another ideal example of their intention and of sandbagging, setting up. I mean, that man was doing nothing illegal. He was on his own property. And a FBI sniper, just murdered his wife and his baby while she's holding it in her arm.
That man should have been
indicted and, sentenced to the gas chamber for murdering them. And yet, they just all escape. All these traitors and their minions in the FBI and the CIA. And I mean, they just commit these brazen acts of murder and get away with it.
Yeah.
They never get punished. They never even get indicted.
All they have to do is lie, because they have another agenda, which is what we're talking about. We have a caller on the line. If we could take a call for a minute or so, would you be inclined to answer a question?
Let's keep it short. I really don't want to. I want to cover some more ground. But
yeah.
Let's just make it
short. We have Ron from Pennsylvania. Ron, we have to keep it short. Do you have a question or comment for tonight's guest, Ken Adachi?
Yeah, one thing, there's stuff I wanted to go into, but I'll curtail that for another evening. I have the same document downloaded that you guys are reading from, this joke from Department of Homeland Security. The one thing I wanted to mention, and reflect back, do you remember when that young man over in Germany went berserk and shot how many people with a pistol?
Mm-hmm, yeah, they keep referring to that in the media, remind
now,
us.
I worked with a bunch of Germans right off the boat in a tool and die shop up in New York in the early 80s. And one guy I got to know was waiting for his citizenship to come through, and he's scared death of even jaywalking. He figures that take his card away and all that. He's very law-abiding. And over there, he belonged to the German National Guard. He also belonged to a civilian pistol team. And he told me, Jürgen says, to own a gun in Germany, to have it home, he says, that's not possible. He says they had matches they went to all over Germany, but they had to lock up the guns and the ammo in a police station. And they drew them when they went and traveled and did their competition. Then they had to immediately take them back, or else the German police would come knocking on the door. Now, with that said, and the tight controls that Germany still occupied, of course, what happened between the early 80s and now when all those guns were in that guy's house? I can't see the government being loosened up over there to allow this kind of thing to happen. and am very curious as to the strict controls in the early 80s and almost no controls today. It doesn't make any sense to me. And
well, you know, the Swiss Army has compulsory service every 6 months or so.
And they're automatic weapons, too.
And they take their weapons home. Okay?
That's right.
But in and Germany, you're talking about military
so
type weapons.
Now it's not, unless that's a phony baloney deal just to go ahead and get more of this kind of thing going.
Yeah.
What's your
take on that? Do you have a question for Ken?
Well, I wondered if Ken was familiar with that and maybe familiar with the German gun laws in the early 80s and sees the great big difference between then and now. So I'll conclude and listen to you guys on the air. You take care.
All right, thanks. Yeah, call in again, Ron. Okay, Ken, you want to respond to that?
Well, no, I'm not familiar with the situation in Germany as far as gun control laws during the 80s. I haven't looked into it, so I can't really comment on it. But I might say that our own gun control laws have not receded. You have to remember that they started to introduce gun control laws after Kennedy's assassination. If you remember, they use, of course, you know, everyone knows that, you know, that also was an inside job, that the CIA, et cetera, were responsible for, you know, the actual killing of Kennedy. And Oswald probably was not in the book, and he certainly didn't fire any of those rounds that they claimed. He was the complete patsy. Anyway, I remember they used the photos that maybe they even doctored them to create them of Oswald holding up this Italian mail order rifle. I forget the name of it. Carcini. I can't remember the exact name of it, but I do recall that they, you know, Time Magazine, Newsweek, you name it, it was splattered over every front page around the country of him holding this rifle up. And they started the banning of ordering guns through mail order with that. And if you remember when Reagan was shot, the Brady bill, because one of his cabinet members, Brady, was hit also by the gunfire in the Reagan attempted murder, and they passed the Brady Bill after that, which bought a great deal. Well, first it added to the list of which guns were prohibited. You know, Uzis and high powered large magazines, automatic weapons. They created a list of weapons that could not be purchased in the U.S. But also they started the registration stuff, in which if you wanted to get a gun, you know, prior to this, you can go in a gun store. You didn't have to fill out forms. You didn't have to show your ID. You can just buy a gun. You just put your money down, which is the way it should be. But so they started that registration. When was Reagan? 86, I think, when he was shot. So the Brady Bill came in after that. And then there were a number of international, I'm trying to remember the dates. I think the Port Arthur, Tasmania massacre was perhaps 94. I think I have the number about right. And because of that, that's what created the pretext for the law to ban firearms entirely in New Zealand and Australia, was that Port Arthur massacre. And then in England, it happened before that, I believe. And as I mentioned to you the last time we talked about this, is that we had these, we've been having campus school shootings really since the 1960s. I just happened to come across an article that I put up maybe 3 years ago, I think it was in 2006, in which I called it Gun Control in America. And I reminded people that the first big, flashy, well-publicized, well-covered media event on a campus shooting was Charles Whitman and the University of Texas. He put himself up in the tower there, the famous Texas Tower, and on the campus and was shooting people. Now, at the time, of course, this was in the early 60s. I can't remember the exact year, maybe 63. I can't recall exactly. or 62. I just can't remember exactly. But at the time, you know, I didn't know about the New World Order. I believed what was presented in the newspaper. I thought this was just a distraught guy. He was very unhappy and just decided to, you know, take all these people out. Of course, later we find out, David Icke did a lot of investigation of, into the Charles Witness story. The guy was, you know, being, quote, treated by a psychiatrist who, of course, programmed him to MK Ultra, mind control victim.
We had
Son
of Sam.
He was programmed to do that shooting on that date.
Yeah. And
so all these shooters, with rare exception, I sure, occasionally you'll get the guy who's, you know, who loses access to his children, who's got to pay child support, but, you know, the wife, you know, marries, you know, a guy 20 years younger, you know, flaunting in his face. No, you can never see the kids. You know, this guy goes so, he gets so ballistic with rage that, you know, he'll pop her and maybe kill the kids and kill them. I mean, that happens now and then. That's not necessarily a victim of mind control. It could be. But, you know, we understand, though, the inner rage that a person who's been victimized by, again, the Illuminati. The Illuminati created feminism. The Illuminati, through feminists, set up the no divorce laws, which allowed, you know, a wife to just say, you know, dump the husband, divorce him. You know, the courts are totally ruled by feminists, so that the wife in almost all cases would get the kids. There's tons of men who've been falsely accused of abusing their children, sexual abuse. I mean, they just, these stories are legions, to deny the father, you know, visiting rights, to deny the father, you know, custody rights, etc. So the Illuminati created all this. They wanted to create this tension between former husbands and wives. They wanted to create all this, you know, stress over child custody, child support. The Illuminati created all that. So I understand, you know, the rage that some guys may experience, and they go off the deep end. I've talked to a few people on the phone, you know, I get calls from people all over the world, and, you know, I hear some incredible things, and sometimes they say, you know, well, I'm thinking about doing this and that, and I would say, I wouldn't do that, you know, think about it, you know, this, you know, try to, so, we have to bear in mind that gun control is being orchestrated, just like 9/11 was orchestrated, just like the Oklahoma City bombing.
I was going to mention that, you know, if I could, you know, because
okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
They have this story that Tim McVeigh and Terry Nichols conspired to blow that building up, and they used fertilizer bomb. Okay, now so to stop first of all, did they ban the sale of fertilizer? No. Are they going after food? Yes. Just like they're going after ammunition. Right? Okay. So, in other words, if you have food, then you must have fertilizer. You see? And so that makes you a terrorist. I mean, it's just insanity. It's desperation on their part. They have, they have nothing substantial to stand on anymore because their corrupt financial system is imploding. And they're trying to assign the debt to us, and I'm sure you and Ron, who called in, and me, and probably everyone in the listening audience, including the intelligence agents, are saying, no way I'm paying for that. Right. Okay? They're just stealing money, and what, we're going to make it up? We're going to pay for it because they decided they're going to steal? Think, people, what's going on? This is all about money and power and control. And there's no, it makes no sense other than it's just about money, power, and control.
Yes.
They couldn't spend trillions of dollars, yet they have to steal it.
Right.
For what?
Right.
Why are they, you know, what?
Yeah. Right. Well, actually, if, you know, when we started the conversation, While I segued into the letter from the lady about immigrants and me hating, you know, Latin people from Latin America, there was a second letter that I really wanted to focus on, because that was a letter that I haven't published yet, but it was from a guy who was essentially a younger guy in Europe, if I recall, who's asking me for advice on what to do. He sees the New World Order game. He recognizes, he's read a bunch of stuff at my site, and he's essentially, you know, saying, well, I can see something big is happening, because he's responding to these setups, to these problem reaction solution schemes that we're being subjected to.
Yeah.
And he feels something's big coming. And what I'll say to him, and I've yet to compose it, but I will, and I'll get it up in a day or two, is that, and what I want to take the last few minutes of this chat to bring out is that you don't have to rely on the Illuminati-created system for your, you know, for your existence and survival and well-being. And too many people are locked into, let's say, a conventional job with some sort of corporate giant. They're announcing every single week on the news, because I can still see television before June 12, but after June 12, I won't be looking at it anymore, and it won't bother me in the least, but I can still see it now. So I hear these reports on television about another 20,000 or 2,000, excuse me, laid off from this company, and, you know, so many thousand from that company. And they're all big name corporations. I can't remember the specifics, but Hewlett Packard, you name it. All big corporations are under the dominance of the Illuminati. They're following orders. They're following a script. And the script is to back off. You know, we had our time for expansion and making a bunch of money. Now we're going to contract, and we're going to pick up, you know, the cheap bargains after we break all the little people who believed in our stock market schemes, who believed in our hedge fund schemes, who believed in our inflated real estate schemes, who believed in our
fractional banking
schemes, who believed in our government sponsored crap and propaganda and so forth, who believed all that, who invested in those vehicles. After we break them and take the wealth from them, we're going to pick up the pieces for chump change, the same way we did it after 1929, when the Illuminati intentionally created the first Great Depression at that time. So now, people do not have to capitulate to this idea. You got to stop depending on a corporate paycheck. You've got to go independent. What they can't take from you, unless you willingly give it away or you willingly don't use it, is your personal energy and your knowledge. Everyone, no matter what they have training in, is good at something. And if you capitalize on whatever you have skill in, if you use your brains and network with other people who are in the same boat as you are, become an independent entrepreneur. In which you essentially, food needs to be grown, people have to deliver it to markets, cars have to be repaired. There's things that go on that don't require the blessings of the government or big corporate structures. Life needs to go on, so everyone has this ability. Get into the private entrepreneur market. Now, the Illuminati doesn't particularly want that for multiple reasons. First, they don't want no stinking independent thinking and independent acting people who aren't going to depend on them for government, you know, checks, for government food and water and shelter. They don't want people to go independent. So, but beyond that, they certainly don't want more people joining the independent cash society. Because, by golly, maybe this IRS people aren't going to get quite as much money as they're getting from people who get corporate checks.
Mm-hmm.
And, they might start losing revenues there because, you know, in the cash world, well, you know, particularly if you're not if you don't have a great need to open a checking account where they can check every dollar that goes in, goes out, and you don't have a great need to use credit cards, you can just operate using cash. And a lot of people are discovering this, and more people need to discover that. Now, of course, if they're going to break the Federal Reserve note, there are other things that can replace a Federal Reserve note as a medium of exchange.
Mm-hmm.
One of them is obviously precious metals. Everyone knows that. So, yeah, there's nothing wrong with that. You can get some gold, get some silver. It's entirely possible they will outlaw the use of gold, just like they did in the 1930s, and demand that you turn your gold in to the government. That's possible. They probably won't do that with silver because there's such a large gap between the price of gold and silver. So you should keep that in mind. But
now, you know, however, let me bring up another point, too.
Yeah.
And I heard this on, this was reported by Kitty Pilgrim on Lou Dobbs' show. Evidently, yeah. Lou must be on vacation or something. She said that Obama is going to Mexico, and he's going to engage in talks in, I forget the exact term they used, but this is the Trans-American Highway. But they referred to it as open Mexican trucking. In other words, they're going to open the highways to Mexican trucking.
Yes.
Now, what happened to the borders? What happened to the border patrol? What happened to border security? What happened to Homeland Security? What happened to the DEA and the DIA and the NSA and the FBI? On and on and on. Where are all these people in these conversations?
Yes.
They're just
so going
to allow Mexican trucks to come in the country. But they've been saying, no, this is not happening. No, we are not building a highway through Texas, up Interstate 35, all the way up to Canada.
Right.
They kept saying, no, we're not doing that.
We're not doing that, yeah.
And we know they're doing it. We know the Chinese are putting in the electronics, and we know Spain is going to be running this thing.
Right.
Okay? They're going to be reaping the profits. Come on. You know, wake up, people. We've been talking about this for a couple of years now.
Yeah.
And here it is. It came out on mainstream that they're Obama's going to work out some kind of a deal to where Mexican trucks can just drive into the country. What about the American truck drivers? You
mm-hmm.
idiots?
Mm-hmm.
That's to the politicians and the corporations and the bankers. That's not to the listening audience.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, anyway, yes, of course, we're being betrayed continually.
And lied to.
And lied to. And then the report you mentioned, the Napolitano, you know, she's just yet another mouthpiece. There's just, with each administration, they hire on Illuminati, frontman shills. I mean, good Lord, Larry Summers. I mean, the guy should be in jail. Rahm Emanuel, he should be sitting, you know, in Israel somewhere, plotting with his Zionist pals, you know. He certainly shouldn't be chief of staff. Of course, the imposter shouldn't be the president. That Biden, that disgrace, selling, New World Order sellout, lying jackal, ought to be, picking cotton on a farm somewhere. I mean, go down the line. I mean, everyone in this administration are just the worst possible people. They are truly infiltrators. They are truly traitors who are betraying us at every turn. And as you say, the Napolitano thing, similar to what they did during the Clinton administration, a total fabrication, concoction of lies that is a reversal of the true situation. The Illuminati, being Satanists, always offer up utter reversals of the truth, and that's why any normal person reacts with indignation and anger, as I do, as you do, as anybody who's normal, to when confronted with such obvious reversals of truth.
Yeah.
You just become, you know, apoplectic almost with indignation because they're creating whole lies and presenting them as if, you know, as if it was legitimate.
Yeah.
And
now,
it's just like, you know,
we report what they do, do we not? And we report what they say, do we not? And when they, then we report about how they lie about what they said and how they lie about what they did.
Yes.
You see, because there is that Hegelian dialectic there. They're doing the opposite of what they say they're doing.
Yes.
And when they get caught doing it, they find somebody else to blame it on.
Yes, right.
I mean, we're just making observations here. That's all that is.
Right.
And this is both Democrats and Republicans and anybody in between. And they call themselves Christians, but they're atheists or they're Satanists, okay?
Yes.
And they politicize religion. You and I have talked about this on past shows, too,
yes.
That when you make a statement like America is a nation founded on Christianity, But the laws say that we have separation of church and state, yet the state controls the church. So look at the doublespeak there, folks.
Oh, yeah, there's a lot of stuff.
That's what's going on.
Yeah, there's absolutely... I did hear I was flipping through AM radio stations. There's one here, it's called K-Bright, it's 740 AM, which has mostly evangelical types. Many of them drive me up the wall, but some don't. And one of them is Dr. Stan Monteith. I like him very much. He has a program called Liberty Radio. But there was another guy who, I forget his name, but I like what he had to say. And he did point out the what you just said, that the illuminated jackals working through the government who want to, you know, destroy Christianity in this country, and so they use their minions in feminism and so forth to front their agendas. But he pointed out accurately that there is this mix up in understanding words, just like this woman was snookered into it has been. Improperly using the term immigrant because, you know, the propagandists are using the term. That's how they inculcate it in unsuspecting people. That's why she's picking up the jargon because it's repeated over and over again on leftist radio stations, Spanish-speaking radio stations. Immigrants, immigrants, immigrants. No. They're illegal aliens. Big difference.
Mm-hmm.
Which I emphasize in this little article. Anyway, this preacher, though, had said that the idea of separation of church and state is not to say that, you know, that there is a, you can't have anything that relates to spirituality or statements about a belief in God or the Bible or a Christmas scene and, you know, some sort of state-owned building or, they're trying to create a completely false barrier that was never established.
Yeah,
what they
course.
Meant is that we got out of England and when we had the Declaration of Independence and the Constitutional Act, it was to keep the state from imposing a state mandated religion on the people.
Exactly. Exactly.
And yet these damn distortionists and these these Tavistock think tank planners intentionally create these slippages of word meanings and distortions of meanings to bamboozle people like this lady who sent me this email, you know?
Mm-hmm.
They just don't realize how they're being deceived.
Yeah. Ken, listen, we're out of time. We have to close the show. But I want to end with a comment on word. In fact, this came up a couple of nights this week. And it's the word unalienable, which is used. You know, our rights are unalienable. However, the correct word is inalienable.
Okay.
And it specifically means unable to be taken away from or given away by the possessor.
Yes.
that means that they were given to us by our Creator.
Yes.
Okay? And that's something for everyone to think about. And
yes.
When you're thinking about the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, even the Declaration of Independence, our unalienable rights. And these the Founding Fathers signed that document,
mm-hmm.
okay, which in effect made that the law of the land.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the foundation on which this country was built. Regardless of the secret agreements behind the scenes,
mm-hmm.
that document was the first official document declaring the status of this country and its inhabitants.
Yes. Okay?
The people living here. And I'm purposely not using the word citizen because it
yes.
means something else. If
right,
you're not
exactly.
you're not clear in that, go rent the movie Starship Troopers and
right.
watch how many times they say citizen and federal in that
right.
movie.
Right.
Now, we're out of time, but I would, next time you're on, I would like to discuss this issue because it brings up a lot of very interesting points. You can use the true meaning of that word and basically tear apart all the laws, all 23 million of the laws that they created.
Yes, very good point, Don. It's a good way to end, and yes, we can delve into that when we chat next week. It's rather important because most people, or a large percentage of people, just believe what the government tells them and what the media tells them, and they're under the impression that their lives are controlled within the power of these government bureaucrats, and they deny themselves their God-given rights in doing so. They, you know, David Icke pointed it out in a video that I seen him, I think he made in 1999 or 2000. He was saying that we're convinced, we're mind-controlled, or mind-conditioned, perhaps is the better word, to behave like sheep, and that we follow, you know, the shepherd, and we just, because we don't want to make waves, and, you know, we want to be comfortable, and so we just follow along like sheep, but we're being led to a slaughter. But we have to realize that we don't have to do that.
Okay.
We don't have to stay inside the corral boundary that the government sets up for us because they have illegitimately deceived us in so many ways. And above all, our rights to enjoy a life of freedom from, you know, the control of others to pursue happiness and all the sort of statements and Declaration of Independence. The government can't take that away from them. They can't create any sort of code, which they try to do with statutory laws, to control your life. You need to resist. You need to understand what your true rights are, and you need to resist government's incursions on your rights.
Okay, Ken, got to say goodnight. Thank you for being on Evident Footprint. And I want to encourage the listening audience, if they haven't already, to visit your website, educate-yourself.org. Special thanks to Don and Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible on bbsradio.com. Ron for calling in from Pennsylvania. And most of all, you, the listening audience, for tuning in. Join us tomorrow night when Dr. Christopher Holmes will be our guest. In the meantime, I wish you a night filled with peace, love, and light, and have a good night.